The Gemara has on Adaf Yudayz of a base in Kiddushin. Rav Mangin Amand Mekadesh B'Shuka, the Alda Mekadesh B'Diya, Alda Mekadesh B'Lo Shiduchi. So for our purposes, I'm interested in the third of those. Rav Mangin Amand Mekadesh B'Lo Shiduchi. That in order to get married, to have Kiddushin, you need to be preceded by Shiduchin. What are Shiduchin? Not abundantly clear, but it sounds like some formal declaration of intent to proceed with Kiddushin. So this is reflected in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kav Vav Se'if Dalid. Simen Kav Vav Se'if Dalid. Yishem Etzkadesh Etzlashlosh Edrachim, etc. V'afilu Kishav V'kasav V'shar. So Kiddushin B is out, but even if you do Kiddushin Kasav or Shar, so the latter two statements of Rav, that or the first and third, mangid amand mekadesh b'shuka v'lo shiduchi, if you do either of those, then you get malchus d'rabbanan, but the kedushin is still chal. So it's unadvisable and rabbinically prohibited, or strongly recommended against, to be mekadesh below Shiduchin. The Ramayat Lor Isi Miyamai Shehikumi Shekidish Velo Shiduchin. Even though the Mechaber says, technically speaking, there's Makas Mardis, but in common practice, I don't know how common it was to be Mekadish Velo Shiduchin, but if it happened, common practice was not to extend Makas Mardis. So it's generally assumed that the document that we refer to as a Shtar of Tnaim is a fulfillment of this requirement to be Mekadish the Shiduchin, to have some declaration of intent that precedes the actual Kiddushin. So in earlier times, the common practice in most communities was to have some kind of signing of Tanayim with Kenyanim and other things to demonstrate the intent to marry. And those Tanayim had a lot of teeth. There were severe consequences for not following through with the terms of the Tanayim and not following through with the marriage. I emailed you earlier a link to Rabbi Bleich's old packet for his contemporary halacha, his fourth-year halacha classes. I don't know if you can access that on your computer now. I didn't have time to make a copy before, but if you look in page 201 and 202 of that packet, you have this standard, in 201 you have the standard version, the classic version of the Shtar Tanayim from the Nachal Shiva. Nachal Shiva is the classic work that has all relevant shtaros for all life events. We should have one here on the shelf. The fancy edition here. Somewhere. Here we go. Anyways, Simukas over here, so for those of you that are on computers, remember you, if you want to take a look. So the highlights of the standard classic Shtar Tanayim, Nachal Shiva Simukas. Bakr Ploni Bar Ploni, and now Yisa B'mazel Tov, and Sabasula, Maris Ploni, Sanal, B'chub V'kidushin, and that's Moshe B'Yisrael, Al Yavricha V'yalimu Lo Zem Mizu V'lo Zem Mizah, Shema Brach L'Fman V'olam, Yishitu B'nasein Shabbat V'Shabbat, fine. And the father of Chasa will bring certain things into the marriage, he gives in a dunya, and the father of the Kala has certain responsibilities. And then it says, and the date of the wedding will be, or at least the time frame of the wedding will be. The Cholhad of El Kibbul Aleim Shnei of Sodom and now Asher Lakayim Becherim Chamor, will be Shvud Araisa Beknas Kati Nidunya. So this agreement is entered into on pain of a Cherim, that if one party doesn't fulfill their side of the obligation, there will be a Cherim against them. And a knas of half of the nedunya. So these are very severe ramifications of not fulfilling the terms of a shtar tanayim. That knas lo yiftar sechayim, v'chayim lo yiftar sechnas. That one doesn't satisfy the other. There's going to be both a chayim and a knas. Then there's a reference to Takana Shum. Takana Shum, this Takana Shum was that if the marriage only lasts a brief period of time, if, let's say, the husband were to pass away within a year, within 2 years of the wedding, so then the Nidunya would go back to the Kala's father. So this is all part of the standard Shtar Tanayim. Now, in more contemporary times, the more common practice has become in many circles to avoid having a signing of the Tanayim in advance of the wedding, largely because of the severe consequences of breaking such an engagement. Where if you had a Tanayim, it may be advisable to get married and then divorce rather than bring upon yourselves the Knas and the Cheirim of breaking the engagement after the Tanayim. So presumably for reasons along those lines, the more contemporary practice developed of not executing a Tanayim in advance of the wedding. I think in certain Hasidic communities it's all done, but in our circles we don't do Tanayim in advance of the wedding. What's typically done is the execution of a much watered down version of the Tanayim at the chuppah itself. At the wedding itself, in advance of the chuppah, at the chassan's tish typically. And the standard nusach that's used for that is what's known as Ramosha's nusach, which basically takes away all the tipah tanah. Number one, it's kind of an irrelevant document at this point because they're getting married in an hour anyway. And number two, the chayim and the knas are all removed. So Ramosha's nusach is just, this is page 202 of the handout if you have it. The only thing left to do if they're going to get married. So there is basically no teeth in this document, and it's not a terribly relevant document. So one could argue that it still fulfills a halachic purpose in the kiyum of having shiduchin before a chasana. Rabbi Bleich points out that there are other presumed ways of fulfilling shiduchin before a chasana. Rabbi Bleich thinks that if you enter into, if you apply for a marriage license, that itself could be sufficient shiduchin, because you're doing something formal to indicate your intent to get married, or the signing of the contract with the caterer or the wedding hall may be sufficient to fulfill shiduchin, in which case this remnant of the old tanayim that we do in advance of a chuppah doesn't serve much of a halachic function other than creating more kibbutzim to give to people they want to give kibbutzim to. So those people feel great that you are so honored to have them involved in your wedding and come early to sign a document that has no halakhic significance that is meaningless. I think someone told me that at a wedding not long ago where Rabbi Teller was inside of Kiddushin, Rabbi Teller made some comment when he called up the people who are mechuba signing the Tanayim that these people are going to come up and they're going to sign an irrelevant document. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I'm going to take away a couple. In terms of entering the marriage license or what? Would he agree to any sort of? I mean, many people don't sign their marriage license after they get civilly married.
They have to apply for the license.
Right, I'm saying many people don't do that.
So that's wrong. That's illegal.
Okay, but be that as it may, would he allow even, let's say, like filing a joint for a joint credit card or something like that?
Maybe would that be enough to constitute shiduchim?
I mean, does that sound just like
as a matter of course could be enough to fulfill the halacha regarding their shiduchim. Presumably everyone signs a contract with the wedding hall. That's enough.
Okay, and then in terms of like the, there's always been said the engagement, you know, where, you know, the proposal, the engagement, which is completely secular, wouldn't that satisfy on some level? Wouldn't that count half as much as a, you know...
What does engagement mean?
Meaning where the boy makes a very big celebration, the fact that he asked the girl to marry her and she said yes.
Meaning
they
had a party?
Yeah, they had a little time. They had a bar, whatever.
So there's no formal act there that...
I mean, it's an announcement, though. It's more...
So there's no Kabbalah's Kenyan, there's no contract signed.
So that's what it has to be hagbol.
Maybe there
should be
some formal agreement, some formal contract.
That's what I mean. That's the way we want to shidduchi be shtar tonight. But who says that's what shidduchi really means?
Okay, Menachanami, maybe.
Do we know? Do we have any better hagdar?
Not really clear from the Gemara, even the Rishonim there, or even Shulchan Aruch. That's so clear what it means. Huh. And it was always assumed that Tanayim is a fulfillment of Shiduchim.
Okay.
Shiduchim has other potential nafkaminas also. Pitzchei Shuva quotes from the beginning of Simon Kuf Sani Beis in Yoredeya from the Chamudi Daniel that entering into Shiduchim could create it. Signing Tanayim could create Dam Chima. You'd have to wait 7 days after signing the Tanayim because of Dam Chima, which wouldn't be so convenient if you're signing the Tanayim at the wedding.
But she's usually not there, so that's
what Rabbi points out. and also, Moshe's Nusach doesn't have Kabbalah's Kinyan mitzad the Kala, only mitzad the Chasen. So then the Kala's not involved, so maybe that helps also. Okay, let's talk about a little bit when it's appropriate or inappropriate, permissible or not, to have a wedding. So we all probably know that we don't do weddings on Shabbos. That appears in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Lamed Tes Seif Dalid. And one of the things we don't do on Shabbos is Kiddushin. However, there are comments over there. This is based on the famous Tshuva Sarama in Simin Kuf Kafei. There are comments there, Chaim Simin Shin Lamed Tes Seif Dalid, Shin Lamed Tes Seif Dalid, that even though we avoid Kiddushin on Shabbos, Yesh Matirin Lekadesh Hecha De'en Lo Isha Banim, that some allow performance of Kiddushin on Shabbos where there's a Makom Peruvu. The Efshar Du'a Dinach Nisa L'chof Hashari, not only Kiddushin, maybe Nisun as well. The Afagat L'kai Mahalchi said there is such a Shita of Rebbeinu Tam. The Ramah says even though we don't in general assume like this Rebbeinu Tam that you can do Kiddushin on Shabbos, we do rely on the Rebbeinu Tam B'Shat Tzatzak. Gam Ki Gadol Kavod Abrias. B'Shat Tzatzak, where there's a Kavod Abrias consideration. Kamo, Sherry Gilin, Shalif Amim Shaloh Hayu Yecholun Lahashvel Zimen Adunya B'Yom Vav Adalayla. That sometimes, this is a famous case in that Shuvah Sarama, where he was involved in a wedding that was supposed to take place on Friday, and there was haggling from both sides. And by the time they got their act together, it was already Friday night, it was already Shabbos had started. So the Ramah performed the Seder Kedushin even once Shabbos started. Dosin Chubah v'Kedushin v'Lel Shabbos, Hovel Kvarachinu l'Suda v'Nesuad v'Havi Biyush v'Kal l'Chasim lo Yitnosas. That it would be a busha to l'Chasim Kal, everything's ready to go, and to hold off the wedding is going to be a big busha. So the Ramah allowed Seder Kedushin on Shabbos, under such circumstances where it's supposed to happen Erev Shabbos and things got delayed. The Mishnah Berurah points out here in Sifkat in your test from the Chai Adam that you only really have license to be Mekel if you have all three of the factors that the Ramah mentions. Number one, it's a Makom Peruvu, the Chasen hasn't had kids yet. Number two, there's going to be Hefsen Meruba. And number three, there's going to be Busha if they're not going to proceed with the Chasen at that point. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, Bein Hashmashos is better, so then even if you don't have three factors, maybe Bein Hashmashos, you can allow for the Kiddushin to take place. So that's the position of the Ramah. This doesn't really happen too much anymore, but the Ramah has such a Maisa. There's a story told about the Marsham as well. The Marsham, before he became the Rav in Virjan, which was his most famous Rabbanus and his final Rabbanus, he was the Rav in Bialystok. And the story goes that when he was a Rav in Bialystok, there were two events that happened that the Balabatim weren't happy about. I forget the order. One of them was that he was Masader Get Balayla. We'll talk about that actually in a little bit later today. And the Balabatim didn't think that was appropriate to be Masader Get Balayla. That's a Machlokas Achronim. Whether you could be Masader Get Balayla is a Get considered a Maisa Bezin. So most Achronim assume that it's not. So Mikra Din, you could be Masader Get Balayla, the Noda Behuda thought otherwise, so practice in many places is not to be Masader Get Balayla, at least L'chafila. And the Baal Batim thought the Marsham shouldn't have done it. And then the other case was the same story as the Ramah, that he was Masader Kiddushin on a Friday night where the wedding was supposed to take place on Shabbos and things got delayed and there would have been a tremendous embarrassment. So he was Masader Kiddushin Friday night. I don't remember if it was Ben Hashmashos or even after Ben Hashmashos. and the Baal Batim were upset about that also. So the Marsham remarked to the Baal Batim that the Baal Batim saw two things that they found perplexing, two milsa d'tnios, and now they're going to see a third. And that week, unbeknownst to the Marsham, he received a delegation from Brzan with the Ksav Rabbanus. They offered him the Rabbanus of their town, and he took that as a simon min hashamayim that it was time to move on from Bialystok and accept the Rabbanus in Brzan. So that was the third milsa d'tnia that probably surprised the Baal Batim even more. Anyway, Kiddushin on Friday night doesn't happen too much. What about Chasen and Erev Shabbos or Chasen and Motzai Shabbos? The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Ishus Perek Yud Halacha Yudalid. Hilchos Ishus Perek Yud Halacha Yudalid. Ein nosei nashim lo be'erev Shabbos lo be'echa b'Shabbos. So you're not allowed to have a chasana on Friday or on Sunday. We're worried that maybe there's going to be Chil Shabbos involved, the Chasen is Tarid and the Suda, and if you have a Chasen Er Shabbos, it may go into Shabbos, and there may be Chil Shabbos, and if you have a Chasen on Sunday, there may be Chil Shabbos in preparing for it on Shabbos. That's based on the Sugya and Ksuba Stafei of Shema Yishchad Benof. The Rambam paskens no Chasenos on Fridays and no Chasenos on Sundays.
Which perek was this?
Perek Yud Halacha Yudalid in Hilchos Ishus. Perek Yud Halacha Yudalid. So the Magnishim there comments that the source of the Rambam seems to be the sugya in the beginning of Ksubis, and the Magnishim doesn't understand why the common practice developed to have chasanas on Fridays. That the Gemara seems to indicate otherwise. The Rambam says you can, so the Magnishim wonders where did this practice come from, that people would have chasanas on an Erev Shabbos. If you look in some of the other Rishonim there at the beginning of Ksubis, the Rosh and the Mordechai, so they all record that the practice was to have chasanas on Erev Shabbos because of Takanas Aniyim. That was the old practice in Europe, that they wanted to save money on the chasana, so if you'd have the Sudas Nisuin as a Friday night Suda, so then you'd save money on the meal. So you wouldn't have to have an extra Sudas chasana because you're having the Friday night Suda anyway. So this is 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Samach Dalid Seif Gimel, Simin Samach Dalit Seif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Hanothi Asavu'ula Tzarech Lismochi Malshloshi Yamim Bein Bach. I'm sorry, wrong Seif, Seif Gimel. Yesh Omrim She'ein Nosin Nashim Lo Be'er Shabbos Lo Be'echa B'Shabbos. That's the Rambam. You can have a chasana on a Friday and a Sunday. Zer Shema Yavu L'Dechil Shabbos V'tikon Asuda V'yesh Matirin V'chein Pashat Aminah Glisa Nashim Be'er Shabbos. So the Mechaber records that the minhag developed to have chasanas on Fridays. V'hushe yitrach v'sudas ha'nesuin shloshe yomim kodem ha'nesuin. So that's the Gemara of Shaptu in the beginning of Ksuvas. Fine, so 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, 2 days in Rishonim, and the Mechaber already tells us that the minhag was to have chasanas on Erev Shabbos. So apparently it wasn't only in Europe, it was in the Sephardic lands as well. The Aruch HaShulchan points out in Os Yud Aleph that if you look carefully at the Lashon HaRambam, the way the Rambam expresses the concern is that Shema Yavah L'Dechil HaShabbos B'Tikun HaSuda Shachasin Tar B'Sudaso, that the Chasin is the one who's Tarit. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out nowadays it's not the Chasin's family that makes the Chasin, it's the Kala that makes the Chasin. So there's less of a concern of Chil HaShabbos if it's the Kala making the Chasin and then the Chasin. Because the chassan is all concerned, he wants to get everything right and please the kala. But the kala's family is not as concerned about pleasing the chassan. So there's more of a chashash of Chil Shabbos if the chassan is the responsible party. Nowadays that the kala is responsible, there's less of a concern. So maybe even according to the Rambam could agree that nowadays there wouldn't be a problem having a chassan on a Friday. Nevertheless, Aruch HaShulchan says it's a bad idea to do this in the winter when Fridays are short. So even if you think you're going to start early enough, things happen and things get delayed. So it's a bad idea to have chasanas on Fridays in the winter. But he concludes, Ein kach b'yadeinu limchos. Apparently people are still having chasanas on Fridays even in the winter, and the Aruch HaShulchan was powerless to do anything about it. I read in the last couple of years an article somewhere that there's a resurgence of this trend of having chasanas on Fridays in some circles. Don't know. Something to consider. So is there, yeah.
Is Aram Shulchan being serious about the Chassan?
I think so. It's not on the Siman on Purim.
Doesn't say like they're a slogan or anything like that?
No,
sounds
he
like
says,
such a bizarre way to read the Rambam. I mean, okay.
He wants to make her happy because it takes a lot to please a kala. Doesn't care what color the tablecloths are. Doesn't care what they serve.
So the chassan
has to please the kala. The chassan couldn't care less what the kala does for him. Okay, good. So, is there any fundamental difference between a chasana on Friday and a chasana on Sunday? In the Rishon, they're all grouped together, and the Mechaber says pasha aminah to have chasanas on Friday. It doesn't say pasha aminah to have chasanas on Sunday, even though in the Gemara and the Rishon, it sounds like there shouldn't be a difference between Friday and Sunday. So, is there in fact any difference between Friday and Sunday, or Friday and Motzei Shabbos? So, if you look in that sugya and on that hey and aleph. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes a Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, or is quoted as saying, that there is a difference between Friday and Motzai Shabbos. Even if we're going to be Mekel to have a Chasan on Friday, Motzai Shabbos, we're still concerned about Shema Yishchot Benof. We're concerned that you're going to make Hachanas for the Chasan on Shabbos. He says, how could there be a difference? The Gemara seems to group them all together. So he says that in practice there's a difference. That when it comes to Erev Shabbos, you know that you can't do anything on Shabbos. So even if you can have the Suda on Shabbos, you're able to prepare well enough in advance whatever you're going to need. But if the chasan is going to be Motzai Shabbos, then you may forget something, and then you may end up doing some preparations on Shabbos itself. So at least as far as Motzai Shabbos, so the Rabbeinu Yonah says there's a difference, that even if we're going to allow a chasan in Erev Shabbos, you wouldn't allow a chasan on Motzai Shabbos. If you look in the Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Dalet, we're still in Siman Samach Dalet, Sifkat and Dalet, the Piskei Tshuva says, the Mechaber told us that the minhag was to have chasanas on Fridays, but Sundays there's no such minhag. And then he quotes the Tshuva HaRama that we just referenced, him in Kuf Kafei, who writes that it's not the norm to make chasanas on Sundays, kechukas hagoyim. And the Rama there is a throwaway line. The Rama there is talking about his case where he had to do the chasan on Friday night, where he says, well, what happens if we would push it off till Sunday? People don't do weddings on Sunday because that's like chukas hagoyim. We would have weddings on Sundays. So that's a totally different consideration than the Gemara of Shema Yishcha Ben Oth, and that's also not limited to Motzei Shabbos. That's even Sunday proper, independent of the Gemara's consideration of Shema Yishcha Ben Oth and the Din Shulchan Aruch. The Rama seems to reference a hesitation against having chasanas on Sundays because of chukas hagoyim. The Moshe has a tshuva. I don't remember the Marmok. Moshe has a tshuva in which he talks about having chasanas on secular holidays with the same consideration. And maybe we should have a chasana, I think it's about New Year's Day, if I'm not mistaken. And the Oser Poskim here quotes that the Divrei Chaim made a chasana on a Sunday, and the common practice in Hungary was to make chasanas on Sundays. And the Aruch HaShulchan here quotes the Yerushalmi, the way the Yerushalmi has this din of Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, it's dafka Motzei Shabbos that's a problem, but there's no indication in the Yerushalmi that there'd be any problem on Sunday day itself. So I think the common practice we've accepted for hundreds of years that you could have chasanas on Erev Shabbos, even though nowadays it's not so common. And I think it's fairly universally accepted that you could have a chasan on Sunday, although Motzei Shabbos is preferably avoidable. Sometimes when we make investigations into for purposes of a get or for purposes of a heter l'kol, we see whether an old wedding was a whether you have to be concerned that it was done in a halachically proper fashion, conservative rabbi, reform rabbi, you want to see if they're kosher eidim. So one of the questions you ask or you check is, when did the wedding take place? So sometimes they did weddings on Shabbos during the day. So then that's usually a good indication that it was not up to halachic standards.
That itself wouldn't necessarily undermine the wedding, but it's just an
if
indication.
It was Kedusha, it's an indication, right? You don't. The case in the Ramah is where it's scheduled for Erev Shabbos and it got delayed. The Ramah would never be mad under any circumstances. L'chakila scheduling a wedding for Shabbos morning.
To be mad to your woman without a get, you can't just. It's not just that the wedding took place on Shabbos.
Right, but the likelihood of having Shomer Shabbos present at a Shabbos morning wedding is somewhat minimal. Correct. But it's usually a good indication. Yeah.
Would the kinyanim, is there any problem in terms of kinyanim or wedding process that was on Shabbos?
So that's the context in which this din comes up, the kinyanim on Shabbos, but it definitely would be chal. And
so from the Ramah that it could.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be sure that everything else was done in a non-kosher fashion, basically, if you want to be matir.
Right, which is usually the case if it was done on a Saturday or during the day.
Right.
Okay. So we don't have chasinus on yantar, we don't have chasinus on chol hamoed. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Ma'ikatan, ve'imar v'n simcha b'simcha. What about Purim? So he passed in Shulchan Aruch, simin tafresh tzadi vav sifches. Simin tafresh tzadi vav sifches, that you're allowed to have a chasin on Purim. Not so common. It's a busy day as it is, but that's not a problem with Amar and Simcha B'Simcha. Technically, you could have a chasana on Purim. Sfiras Omer, we know that the various minhagim as to what part of Sfiras Omer we don't have chasanas. And we're approaching Beina Mitzarim. So the minhag of the Mechaber, Simin Tavkuf Nen Aleph Sif Beis, Simin Tavkuf Nen Aleph Sif Beis, is not to have chasanas from Rosh Chodesh Avinan. And the Minhag L'Ramah and Ashkenazic jury is not Tav Chasidus during the entire 3 weeks. What about the night of Shabbat or B'Tamuz? So that's a machlokas between Ramosha and the Rav and others. Ramosha has a tshuva. Ramosha has a tshuva. Orachayim Chelak Aleph Simin Kuf Samaches. Arachayim Chelak Aleph Simin Kuf Samaches. Addressing this question as to whether you could have a chasana the night of Shabbat Sar B'Tamuz. The time is to give the next morning. What about the night? So he writes, the bottom line, if there's a tzarek, if there's a compelling reason to have it that night, you're allowed to do it. He points out, this is Talyan Machlokas Rishonim, the Ramban Balamor, and Tanis Daf Yud Aleph, whether, technically speaking, there are trappings of a Tanis the night before. Even if the on a regular time of Sibur, we only start fasting the next morning, but is there a certain status of time of and other issues, anenu, in theory, the night before. So Ramosha thinks that what emerges from that discussion is that we're mako, that we don't treat the night before as part of the time of at all. Ramosha acknowledges that if it's a nidcha, if Shabbat or Thomas is really on Shabbos, and we push off the time of to Sunday, then everyone would agree that you can't have a chasana that night because the Nihuga Avelis of 3 weeks already start on Shabbos. But if
no, we don't do wedding Shabbos on Shabbos anyway.
I'm sorry?
That's a Rabbana Shabbos, you wouldn't want it.
Well, technically anyway. Speaking, you could. The general practice, there's no absolute restriction. That the Bitlish Yuba said that we don't have such a tradition, we don't have such a minhag of doing chasana Motzei Shabbos, but under extenuating circumstances, you could have a chasana Motzei Shabbos.
Okay.
You could get away with the Iker Adin, there's what to rely on. But here, Ramosha says, if it's a nidcha, you definitely couldn't. And the Rav thought, this is written up, I think Rosh Hashanah might have this in Nefesh HaRabbi, I remember, it was written up in the Rabbi Konigsberg's Shir Rabban Avelus, in Simon Bays of the Tisha B'Av section, the second section of the work. The Rav thought, based on what emerged from that sugya in Tanis, that we're machmir to treat the night before as part of Beinu Bitzarim, and the Avelis already starts, and therefore you couldn't have a chasana on the night of Shabbat Sar B'Tamuz. Yeah?
For like on a Tanis in general, like Tom Bigali or Tanis Esther?
That also. Mm-hmm. Tommy Dai would be Motse Roshana, that would be a little, but yeah. Tanis Esther may be different because the whole nature of Tanis Esther is not a classic, not a classic Tanis, so that could be different. Yeah.
Going back to Purim, would the Suda Smith about the wedding count as one's Purim Suda?
I think so. There's no violation of Aim Arvin Simcha the Simcha. Yeah. I've been to Shavuot Brachos is on Purim. I don't recall ever being at a Purim wedding. I don't think that's a common. Rav Avadia writes, Yabi Omer Chelek Vav Arachayim Simen Nem Gimel. Yabi Omer Chelek Vav Arachayim Simen Nem Gimel. That when he became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, the practice was that all the chasana halls closed for the entire Beit Masarim period. And no weddings took place after Shavuot Sefer Tammuz. And he arranged that for Sfardim they would open, and the Sfardim could have chasana during that period. I remember one of the biographies, I don't think he writes about this in this tshuva, but I remember in one of the biographies it said that this was Rav Avadia's pshara, because there were a lot of places that had chasen with Motzei Shabbos then, and that involved a lot of potential chilul Shabbos. And so the way Rav Avadia convinced the businesses to stop having Motzei Shabbos chasenos was by making this concession of giving them the Sfardi market from Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Shabbos. That was a compromise. If you don't make chasenos on Motzei Shabbos, then I'll let you be in business for an extra 13 days a year, from Shabbat Sefer Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Av. Yeah.
When she held mill is fine, assuming he had passed like Mechaber.
Correct. But
it wasn't compromise on his part.
Well, it was a strategy, right?
Right.
It wasn't a walking compromise.
Right.
So prep. So till then they were all out of business. They weren't allowed to open. So he gave them permission to open.
Okay.
That was a pragmatic compromise.
Right.
Fine. Then the Ramah, in the end of Samach Dalet Sif Gimel, Simon Samach Dalet Sif Gimel, has the following line. V'nogu shelo lisa nashim ele b'tchilas hachodesh v'och alavanu b'milua. The practice was to only get married in the beginning of the month when the levana was b'milua. What's that all about? What day of the month do you get married, Alex?
What day of the week?
Day of the month.
The
Hebrew month.
The 18th.
Yuchas.
Yuchas.
Yeah. Russell?
Yuchas.
Yuchas. Huh? So apparently neither of you are choshesh for this Ramah. So what's this Ramah based on? Yeah?
One
I got married in Kaf Gimel. So what's this Ramah based on? So there's a Nimuka Yosef at the end of the fifth parak of Sanhedrin. And there's also a Tshuvas HaRashba in the Tshuvas HaMiyuchasas L'Ramban, Simen Reish Pei Gimel. Tshuvas HaMiyuchasas Simen Reish Pei Gimel. Who quote a minhag of not having chasanas when the Levana is not B'milua. Which we'll have to define. Their context is whether this is an issue of Nichush. Is it a violation of Nichush to dafkan out of a chasana during certain parts of the month? Is that some kind of inappropriate nichush? So the Nimuchi Yosef, the Rashi, and the Ramban say no. Nimuchi Yosef says that anything that's just done with Simen Tov is a good omen, is not a violation of nichush. So that's what this Ramah is based on. If you look in the Tshuvas Binyan Siyam, Tshuvas Binyan Siyam Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, Tshuvas Binyan Siyam Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. So the Shoel to the Binyan Siyam was bothered by the following. If you read the Ramban and Nukha Yosef carefully, they make no reference to the beginning of the month as opposed to the end of the month. They say that you can only get married, or the minhag was to get married only kishalavana b'milua when the moon is full. So the Shavuot for the Binyan Siyan said, well, the mud is only full at one moment during the month, at some point in the middle of the 15th day or thereabouts of the month. So according to the strict reading of the Nukah Yosef and the Rashba and the Rabban, then what should come out is that you could only get married on the 15th day of the month, and not before, and not after. So where did the Ramah get this Tchilas HaKodesh from? It doesn't say Tchilas HaKodesh in the Rishonim. So the Yitzchak says that's obviously ridiculous, because there's no way there is a minhag to only get married at one precise second in the middle of the month. Put all the caterers out of business, even in Tel Aviv. And that can't possibly be the Kavanah of the Rishonim or what the Ramah meant. Ella, the way the Ramah understood these Rishonim, is that the minhag was to get while the moon is expanding, when it's going from 0 to 100, the first half of the month, when it's getting bigger, so then that's a siman of growth, of expansion, that's a siman bracha. And then when the moon contracts is when there's a minhag not to get married. So it didn't mean dafka shalabana bimilua when the moon is at its full strength. It meant when the moon is getting up to its full strength. However, the Shoal and the Binyan Siyam had a had the following raya. So it must be that this is not such a raya because it's a minig anyway. No one says this is Maker Adin. They said it must be that this isn't such a strong minig because the Gemara in Moikata needs to figure out how do we know that you're not allowed to get married in Chol Moed, Ein Arv and Simcha B'Simcha. So you should have said simple carries. You can't get married in Chol Moed because Chol Moed is always after the 15th day of the month. So you can't get married in Chol Moed because the Levan has not been Milua. So the fact that the Gemara didn't give that reason, it must be that this isn't such a concern. So again, this is a minhag. So the Gemara, that's not such a kasha. Okay. The Sefer Nisuin Kilchasam, which is a valuable work you should have if you know, two volumes. So he points out from some Achronim that the minhag was only to be makbid during the last 7 days of a month from Kaf Beizanan or from Kaf Gimelanan, depending whether it's a Chodesh Chas or Chodesh Malay, because there's some Zohar that there's a bad mazel the last 7 days of a month. And then he quotes various Sfarim that watered down this din, and for various reasons, I think 6 months during the year, various farm explain that this doesn't apply. Some months are simon tov the entire month, whatever it is. So as a practical matter, as you can tell from the unscientific poll in this room, it seems that not everyone is so concerned about this minhag that the Ramah records. Okay. What about Kiddushin Balayla? Did you get married tonight? Did you get married tonight?
No.
Uh-huh. I got married today, time too. 2-1. So so the Rambam writes... I'm sorry?
This is very ad hoc, doesn't it?
Yes. the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, the halakha we just quoted, Paragid Halacha Yadalid, that Kiddushin can be Beba Yom Beba Laila. Okay, you get married daytime, nighttime, doesn't make a difference. If you look in the Bar Hetev in Simin Kaf Vav, Sifkat and Dalit, he quotes the following. Simin Kaf Vav, Sifkat and Dalit, Bar Hetev. Isha sheniskansha balayla, safek imhaim kedushin. Rebellion is rafki. Shuvas mayim amukim. the kafah knesset hagadola, upo haya mina kavua lekadesh balayla, will be talti amina. That there was a mina kavua, all the chasanas in the knesset hagadola was in Constantinople. So all the community minhag in Constantinople was to have kiddush in a night, and it was mevatel that minhag. So what's this based on? What's this chashash of the Beli Mizrahi that kiddush in balayla may not be good even b'di'eved? So there's a tshuva that's attributed to the Tosfos Rid, which is quoted in the Or Zeruah, who raises the question whether the Zman Kedushin should be learned out from the Hekesh of Yatza V'Haisa. So the Gemara Kedushin, in a number of contexts, has a Hekesh of Havaya L'Yitzia. If you learn out certain halachas of Kedushin from Gittin, maybe the source for Kedushe Shtar, then maybe the Yatza V'Haisa should tell you that just like when it comes to a get, the get isn't balayla, so to a kedushin can't be balayla. Now that itself isn't so pashin. Most assume that a get balayla is kasher, that you could do a get balayla, it's not a ma'isa bezdin. But this tshuva that's miyukas to the Tosfos Rid seems to raise the question that maybe the Yosef Haisa should tell you that you can't have kedushin balayla. If you look in the Pesukei Teshuva here, Sivkat and Zayin, still the Sivan Kavav, Sivkat and Zayin, he says there seems to be a riot from the Gemara not that way. The Gemara in Kedushin Yud Aleph has an Okimta of Kedushin Balayla, so it sounds like the Gemara is assuming without restriction that there's no impediment to Kedushin Balayla. And the Pesukei Teshuva concludes that according to the large number of posts given shuvos that a get balayla is good, so obviously kedushin balayla is good without shum pikvuk. What do we do with the Beli Mizrahi Knesset Gedola? Mitzaruch Ian. So he thinks the Pesukei Teshuva thinks that the compelling evidence is that kedushin balayla is fine, but he's at a loss to explain the real basis of those Akhrodim who seem to say otherwise. There's a tshuva of Rav Kiveger, Tinyana Simon Ayin Aleph. So he begins by saying, in a fairly strong language, that he says the following. Even if you're going to be machmer on a get and restrict the issuance of a get balayla, that's because a get would be considered a ma'isa bezdin. Why is it considered a ma'isa bezdin? Because the get is connected to the gviyas haksuba and it's considered tchilas din. So he can't have tchilas din balayla. But there's no parallel consideration when it comes to kiddushin. So kiddushin is not din. So there's no tchilas din. So the Yatza V'Haisa isn't some totally arbitrary hekesh without any rationale. It's based on certain halachas. It may make sense to transfer halachas from kiddushin, from gittin to kiddushin. But when it comes to this issue, Kavegar says it's no svar to transfer, because even if you're going to be machmer by get, that's only because it's conceivably tchilas din, and that doesn't apply to kedushin. And then he has a raya from the Mishnah, the end of Gittin. Hamigarish is ishta v'lani baba pundaki. The situation of a man who gives his wife a get, and then they spend the night together in an inn, and the consideration of ein other osa vilasa vilas nos, and we have to be choshish that it was boel l'shem kedushin. So when are you spending lani mavapundiki? When is lani mavapundiki? At night. So what are we concerned about here? Ein other osa vilasa vilas nos, and you're boel l'shem kedushin. That's kedushin balayla. So clearly, we're choshish for the effectiveness of kedushin balayla. So obviously kedushin balayla is chal. Yeah.
Doesn't Rashi connect?
Doesn't Rashi
connect Kiddushin to Dayanus?
What Rashi?
And I want to stop up.
No, you can find it. I don't know offhand what Rashi is talking about. Show me. But even despite that, despite the fact that Kivager isn't so convinced that there is any legitimate concern about Kiddushin Belayla, he still thinks that Shalovish HaFetchak Ra'oi V'nachon L'Kadosh Bayom L'Kosh L'Sveika D'Hara'e Manal. So, absent any extenuating circumstances, all things being equal, it's preferable to have the Kiddushin Bayom. So Rav Shachter, on some level, is concerned as a lechachila matter about not having kedushin balayla, all things being equal, to be choshesh for this position. But he also points out that this is connected to the question as to whether a karov could be misad kedushin, because if we are concerned about kedushin having an element of din, so then you can't have a karav being misad kedushin. So Rav Shachter likes to say that when his son Yami got married, the machatanim insisted that Rav Shachter be misad kedushin, and he said he was concerned about the karav being misad kedushin. He said maybe better find someone else. And Rav Shachter said, but if the wedding's going to be at night anyway, so then you're already now kosher for this position, so then I can be misad kedushin. So they said, okay, great, we'll make the wedding at night. As a practical matter, my sense is that not too many people are concerned about kedushin balayla. It's not
especially in the winter.
Especially in the winter. Okay. One last topic for today. The Rama records in Simon Samach Aleph Seif Aleph the minhag of fasting on the day of Chasana. What's this based on? So if you look at the base Shmuel here, Sifkat and Vav, he quotes the Mara Mintz. Two reasons. Number one, Yom Slicha did hu v'nim kalav v'nosayem. So today of Slicha, Kapara, Mechila Savonos. And number two, Shema Yishtakru. Maybe they'll get drunk. Let's see a diet of Yishevah Saleh. So either it's because it's a day of Slicha and Kapara, or worry that if you eat, then you may drink and you may get drunk, and then you won't be in a proper mindset for the Chasana.
Like they're worried that the Chasana is going to like drink before, no, they're worried that they'll drink before
right.
Wedding?
Right. Mm-hmm. So the Beis Shmuel kind of points out the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkat and Tes, Nafka Mina is, let's say the Chasana starts well into the night. So he quotes, from the Chayadu, Chachmas Adam, that if the Chuppah is delayed a couple hours into the night, so you can rely on the first reason, and you only have to fast up till Tes. Because the time is not mentioned in the Gemara, so you can be made to like the first reason if it's only Mishum Mechila Savono, so that's the day before the Chasana, the day of the Chasana. And that's only till Seis. You still shouldn't drink anything intoxicating, even if you're going to be made to along those lines. In the Sefer Nisuin Kelchasa, he points out apparently that in many Sephardic communities, this practice never took on, of Chasana Kala fasting on the day of the Chasana, so it's pretty universal in Ashkenazi communities, and apparently there are different practices among Sephardi communities. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siv Kaf Aleph that if the time becomes very difficult, so then, again, since it's not Mekar Adin, it's not Medina the Gemara, so Chasen Kala could break the Tanis if it's overly taxing on them. Then Rosh Hashanah called the story of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. When Rav Moshe got married, so his father of Chaim sent a message to his future wife that, you know, in Brisk they were very against fasting under most circumstances. Chaim is a big machmer and bigot nefesh and very cautious against fasting, so he sent a message to his future daughter-in-law that she shouldn't fast on the day before the chasana. And the daughter-in-law sent a message back to Chaim that where I come from, I have my own poskim.
According to the two reasons, which is the day we're framing it now, the day of Kapara is the day that you're not even getting married on.
Yeah, so it's the day that you're
doing nothing. You might be putting on a nice dress and going to a wedding call.
The day that you're about to get married on. I guess you're right. But unless you mean the day that you get married.
I would assume that it means that
right.
Your fast for could be 2 hours. You know, if it's a 6 o'clock wedding on a
Friday. No one says that. You say, how do you know that's the Yom HaChasana? That's how it's presented in Bishmuel and all the everyone on the page.
Like the Lashon, we say Kavanah with the Chasan, I think, right?
If the wedding's not going to be that day, right?
Right. And not to compare the two.
The Aruch HaShulchan said the napkin in the other direction. Let's say, if it's a Yom of Kapara, so let's say the Chasana is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So then can the Chasan Kala eat after the Chuppah? So if it's a Yom of Mechilas Avodas, it should be no.
Right.
If the concern is Shikras, then it should be yes, because they already got married. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks over there that the fact that the minhag is to eat once the chuppah takes place is an indication that the ikar reason is the second reason of not getting drunk. So the Beis Shmuel, I guess that's essentially what the Beis Shmuel is saying. That if, right, according to the first reason, it should follow that you should fast even if the chuppah takes place in the middle of the day, you should continue to fast. So then he's saying something else. But the Pesach Chuva was saying, I guess you're right, and maybe I misread, the Pesach Chuva was saying that he's saying another factor, that it can't be that this is going to be a more chamer Tanis than any other Tanis. So it can't be that if the Chuppah takes place after Tzeis, that you should have to fast past Seis if every other time of Sivan during the year you never fast past Seis. That's a consideration. The Aruch HaShulchan says the common practice is that you break the fast whenever the chuppah takes place. But because she was saying, yeah, the chuppah is going to take place after Seis, so you don't have to be more machmir than you would for regular times. Unless, I guess if there's a need. Maybe that's it.
And therefore what?
And therefore, if there's a need, so then you can break the fast after Seis.
Because
it should be more calmer than a regular Tannis.
But that means that ideally, if there's a 7 o'clock chuppah on winter day...
Right. I think the common practice is that you wait till after the chuppah, even if the chuppah is after Seis. But there's what to rely on if you feel a need to break the fast after Seis, if the chuppah hasn't taken place yet.
That's still saying that the Yom Tzvi HaLeil Kapara is the day that it seems nothing is happening. The day preceding. The non-halachic day.
Right. Yeah, I'm not aware of anyone who would say that if you know Meirosh, that let's say in the winter, the chuppah is called for 7 o'clock, I'm not aware of anyone who would say that you only fast from 5:30 p.m. to 7. But you're pointing out a interesting thing. Okay, so tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we'll talk about how to fill out a suba. Okay? I'll let you know what time. I'm not sure yet.